Oh, I didn't see you come in. Welcome to the Raging Robot Partycast, your fifth favorite podcast. With your hosts, Josh and Ryan. We're here. We're recording again. What's up?
Not a lot. What is up with you? I am Ryan. The voice you just heard was Josh.
We're us. You're you. We're really happy you're here.
We are them.
We are them indeed. Got a loose show for this week. We're going to talk about the insanity that is one Vince McMahon. It's not a full-on wrestling episode, so don't leave yet. It's just stories about Vince McMahon being a crazy person. He is a fascinating character, as you will soon find out. If you don't know, you're about to know. Anything interesting happened in your week since the last recording?
Yeah, one big thing at least happened. Well, kind of. For some people, I went to go see Detective Pikachu.
Oh man, I wanted to see that. How was it?
It was really good. It definitely deserves the moniker of the best video game movie ever, though that's not that hard. Though I will say I am a defender of the Prince of Persia film. I do like that movie.
It's in competition with one of our next episodes.
Yes, it is. But yeah, Ryan Reynolds continues to prove that he is a fantastic voice actor through this. And do you count Deadpool as primarily voice acting?
I guess it would count, yeah. I don't see why not.
I guess it's kind of 50-50 because he is in the costume, but I imagine they dub over every single line.
Do you think that it is better with him or would have been more fascinating if they still had Danny DeVito?
There's something that comes up that makes it interesting with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a good job. I think it's better with him just clearly because Detective Pikachu was cute overall. I think had they gone for a more hardcore noir version of Pikachu, then it would have been a bit better with DeVito. But because they're going, look how cute he is and funny he is. And once again, as I said, Ryan Reynolds proves that. Him and Chris Hemsworth kind of both proved that, oh yeah, comedic timing is still a thing, it's still really important, and doing it correctly, you can still be really funny without having to throw out 10,000 swear words. Though, to give him credit, he does get away with one joke that I don't know if they didn't understand, or they just said, fine, that will be your one.
All right.
Because he does do one of the ones that actually... The insult dog from Conan O'Brien does.
Oh, nice. I love Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Yeah, he does.
I've been laughing to myself about the idea of a really intense noir Detective Pikachu movie since you said those words. It was a cold night in the Johto region.
Yeah. Man. It's also, they date it in the film, which is interesting, which I guess my friends pointed out that they've been doing throughout all the Pokemon movies, but...
So they give you, like, a hard date of when this happens?
Yeah, I guess minor spoiler. Mewtwo is in the trailers.
Oh, okay.
And when they're talking to someone, they go, Mewtwo was made 20 years ago in the Kanto region. And I'm like, well, that's really weird because you just dated this and tied it directly back to the very first Pokemon movie.
Huh, that's really cool, actually.
Yeah, it was. I've
not seen that in the hottest of minutes, like, since sixth grade, but that's actually really cool that they would do that.
Yeah.
Only housekeeping I want to get out of the way. Actually, I have several housekeeping items to get out of the way. For one, if you listened to last week's show and are back despite being offended, I do want to let you guys know. The result of a conversation that me and Ryan had regarding... fans of basically Captain America, Steve Rogers, and Bucky Barnes, and discussing like a relationship between those two. That was not intended to be construed as homophobic in any way. Ryan was actually trying to describe like shippers and I guess types of fan fiction and that sort of thing. And that's not really a genre that's for him, so he's free to not like that, just as as you can always choose. But yeah, if that is something that you do enjoy writing, we welcome you to the show, and please be gentle with us.
Yes, again, I will just apologize real quick if it came off of any other way.
Yeah, I mean,
like I said, that's your prerogative. You do what you want.
yeah, our official stance is we love you no matter who you love, so you're always welcome here on our show. We may literally at some point have someone actually kind of teach us like about the world of drag. That'll be way down the line. Like way, way down the line. I don't know at one point that'll happen, but there are fascinating parallels between that world and professional wrestling. And I'm like, this is something interesting.
Yeah, it's something that's been brought up a lot, though.
So, there was nothing offensive meant by that. We love you, and we hope that you're still here. And I also do want to give a shout-out to our friends at the Turbo Magnum Gaming Podcast. I actually graduated high school with one of the hosts of that, Mike, and he has been kind of... an uncredited assistant letting us know like things going on with our audio here and there. So thanks for that. And actually really enjoy the show with Michael, Cody, and Ivan. It's great. Give them a listen sometime. I believe they do Twitch stream as well, so check that out.
Yes, thank you for the advice.
Yeah. they actually want to know about our mics and stuff, so I will let them know as soon as I know anything more than I know, which is it's what I stare into when I talk.
Yeah. I can pull the box and everything.
So, let's see. Oh, I did have something I wanted to talk about that's not related to anything on here, but it does happen to be on the run sheet because I wrote it down last week. And that is, early on, we talked about the Venom movie and how I had briefly seen it and was like, this was fascinating but real weird. And I feel like I have an idea of how they could have made a really good Venom movie. And that is... use the Venom story everyone likes. Isn't necessarily a good story, but it's the one that everyone knows, which is Maximum Carnage. How do you do that? You do it the same way you did Into the Spider-Verse. Make it animated, use whoever you want for the voices, that way you can, and pay like Disney however much cash they need, and get all the characters you need for the story, and just do that, and do it in your own way, and... I think that would be fascinating to see. Again, it's not necessarily a good Venom story, but it's one of the more famous ones, and it's everybody has a lot of nostalgia for it, obviously, because of the Super Nintendo and Genesis game adaptation of it. So, with music by Green Jelly. So, yeah, that was literally the entire pitch for that, is just do it.
It would definitely be fun, especially since we did see one of the other symbiotes in the movie, if... for 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's weird that they kind of did the Life Foundation arc, except didn't.
So. Yeah, I guess spoilers. But the other symbiote popping up and then Venom just going, "It's okay, Eddie. I was a loser on my planet, too." Like, okay, Venom. That is a really weird thing to state and talk about.
It is just, ugh. Why are you doing this to us, man? queuing up the...
once again, Woody Harrelson materials. Being a...
man in a bad wig.
Yeah, man in a bad wig. We'll definitely see how it goes.
I kind of hope we don't, but...
It made $1 billion, so it's going to get a sequel.
Well, I guess we will be seeing that.
That's the thing, it's like, as bad as it got panned by reviews... we're going to be seeing another one. And I didn't see Captain Marvel, I kind of heard a lot of the same stuff from Venom as Captain Marvel.
Really?
It was funny. I'm looking forward more to her next movie than this one. They set it up in an interesting place. They didn't use her very well, which is kind of the thing with Venom, is it's funny. They don't do the buddy cop stuff nearly enough, which is really random because that was probably the best part of the movie. Was the talk between Eddie and Venom.
Yeah, I, as of date, still have not seen Captain Marvel, despite having seen Endgame, but it's not for any other reason other than the fact that my child saw it without me, so I can't use that as an excuse. Her grandparents took her, and I'm like, I guess I gotta wait for video now.
No, yeah, just, I was fair. I didn't see Shazam or Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I've gotten both on... DC Shazam. It's like, it's good and it's bad. And I'm like, I guess it's somewhere right in the middle.
which is what I'm definitely going to check out. But
oh man, again, we're working with a real short run sheet because last episode kind of wiped us out mentally because that was like trying to recall 3 hours worth of things, which
yeah.
proved to be difficult even with notes, especially with something that moved that fast.
It's funny though, one thing about the Pikachu movie is, let's see if I can pull up the official run time.
Okay. I'll vamp while he's doing that and provide a song. He's gonna look up the run time. The runtime, which he's Googling at the moment.
And it on IMDb.
Didn't sing long enough.
Hour 44.
Okay.
So it is the weirdest thing, because going from Endgame to that, because I think Endgame is the first film that I saw this year so far. Because I haven't had a chance to go see a lot of films.
I feel like I saw something, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I may have seen something that I don't remember what it was. But to then that, it felt like the film was like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it's going
to
do that.
Because we went to, here in Texas, almost all theaters serve beer now, at least here in San Antonio.
Yeah, that started with Draft House and has really picked up since. Maybe the Palladium over on the other side of town was also doing that for a while. I cannot speak to that.
They were doing wine at first. Remember that their
classy joint
cup holders weren't designed to hold wine glasses, so you had to hold it in your hand the whole entire time.
No fun.
Yeah, the Alma Draft House, very famously for that girl getting kicked out of the theater call. Though I think they backed down and never actually ran that ad.
No, they did.
Did they?
I've seen it before, some movie before.
They did also parody it for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Look that up, because that's hilarious. And then also very famous for the fact that it's a theater that you can snitch at.
Yes, you can snitch on anyone who you perceive to wrong you, which most people don't really do anything, and most people behave themselves in that theater. I honestly haven't been to one since, I think, Avengers Infinity War. But it was my choice whenever I had to go see a movie somewhere.
Yeah.
It's real nice. You can.
Yeah, no, everything went well. There was a kid that walked in a full Pokemon trainer outfit. I'm like, I got my eye on you, kid. But
I actually did start playing Pokemon Go for a few seconds.
Did you?
And yeah, it's fine. It seems like it's gotten more things added to it since the original summer it came out, which I would hope so. And, yeah, I played it till I ran out of balls to throw at small creatures, so
hooray. Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, I pop it open once every other month and throw, like, 3 or 4 balls at whatever's around me, and then maybe miss, maybe don't.
Yeah, it took to just using the new photography mode and just placing, like, one out in the world and just roasting it. Like,
yeah.
Look at this dumb animal. With its all cute face and its silly tail and all that. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Remember, if you walk away from the starters 3 times, 4 times, my mind seems to be telling me 5 times, but if you walk away from the starters enough time, you can start with the Pikachu.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I had to catch one myself.
So did I. I have one with a Santa hat. Because that was a thing they did. But
oh, man. Are you ready to get into Vince McMahon being a weirdo, unless you have anything else?
Not really.
Okay. Credit where credit is due. This is from a thread on Twitter by user @Alan_cheapshot. Crazy Vince McMahon stories, with a disturbing looking photo of Vince McMahon.
So some of these, if you are a wrestling fan, some of these are very famous.
Yeah.
Some I knew, some I didn't know.
Again, this won't probably not actually be about wrestling, so please stay. Don't turn us off yet. It's just going to be about a man being trapped inside his own little bubble and not knowing how to function in society.
Yeah.
So, starting with, Vince hates sneezing. When someone sneezes, he yells at them and tells them to control themselves. On the rare occasion Vince sneezes, he angrily mutters to himself and loses focus for a few minutes. That is a story courtesy of Paul Heyman on Chris Jericho's podcast, Talk is Jericho.
Oh, yeah. So, the next one. Vince once raced a former WWE writer at Court Bauer on an open highway. Vince balked in Court so that Court was heading straight for road construction. Court had to slam on the brakes to avoid an accident. Vince sped off having won the race by nearly killing the guy.
Ha ha! I can't believe I won.
Yes.
We got... Vince went bowling with an NBC executive. The guy had done something Vince didn't like. Obviously, since they were bowling, they were wearing bowling shoes. Vince sneaked off, got the guy's real shoes from behind the counter, and threw them in the garbage and left. The guy had no idea where his shoes were and had to go home wearing the gross bowling shoes. Vince contacted him later and said, "That's what you get, pal!" The guy wrote a book and said Vince was the biggest jerk he'd ever met in real life.
Yes. So, you're gonna catch a theme. One, Vince McMahon is crazy and a manic, and yeah, you're gonna keep seeing. Vince, as a prank, had the real police arrest Jonathan Coachman for running a betting pool at work. Coach said when the cop car finally turned around and brought him back to WWE HQ, he openly wept in relief and rage.
Wasn't that a good prank? Come on, Coach. Didn't you like it?
Too bad it wasn't a punishment for his terrible commenting recently, but...
I feel like he got better with age. He's like a real-life sportscaster, too, so...
No, yeah.
Good on him.
I don't blame him. The weird mix thing that they had him doing when he was on Raw before he got replaced by Renee, but...
Yeah. I do like that they have Renee on commentary. She's a refreshing, different voice, at least.
Yeah.
So, Vince, this is a short one. Vince got wasted at a strip club and let the Hart Foundation hit their finisher on him, and they all hit him really hard. For context, the Hart Foundation, which is Bret the Hitman Hart, Jim Neidhart, who was a very large man, the British Bulldog, also a very large man, Owen Hart, and maybe or maybe not Brian Pillman if he was still alive or not, all probably fairly big dudes who are just absolutely smashing Vince McMahon's face in with their finishers in the middle of a strip club, which strippers are just trying to get paid at.
Well, yeah, that, and then they did a heart attack, if I remember the story correctly, yeah. Meaning that.
Which is...
who lifts who on?
I want to say Jim Neidhart will lift the opponent and...
Brett, typically.
Kind of over his shoulder, and then Brett will come off, and I think it's either a clothesline or a shoulder block.
Yeah.
And knocks him down.
Yeah, so... Vince literally fell hard on the floor, which a spot he would later recreate in Purgatory match that was WrestleMania Vince McMahon versus Bret the Hitman Hart, the revenge for the Montreal Screwjob.
Some say that match is still going on.
As far as I'm concerned, that is one of the levels of hell, is that match and Jack Swagger is still trying to get the briefcase down. If you ever watch, I forget which WrestleMania it was, but you'll know what I'm talking about. So, one of the interesting things about Vince. Vince is very big into being a manly man. And so, there are certain ways to sometimes, certain things that you have to do to save your job. And this was one of them. Vince said something to insult Kofi, who is the current WWE champion. We talked about him on the media podcast, went through everything, on a plane. Kofi didn't do anything. As they were getting off the plane, Jericho told Kofi that if he didn't confront and fight Vince immediately, Kofi's career was effectively over in Vince's mind. This is how Vince tests his talent.
Well, I guess it worked.
Yeah.
Looks like our next one is former 90210 writer Larry Mullen joined Stephanie's creative team. Stephanie McMahon is Vince McMahon's daughter and was running creative at a time. They were in a meeting with Vince. Vince was talking and Larry was nodding. Stephanie pulled Larry out of the room and she told him, "You need to stop nodding. Vince hates nodding." She explained, "If there is one thing Vince hates, it's yes men." This is extra hilarious because everyone always says that Vince is surrounded by yes men. Poor Larry lasted just a couple of weeks.
So one of the things and one of the people that WWE eventually get was World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry. There's things, how things went between them, but this is just a random story. Vince invited Mark Henry to a workout session. Bear in mind that Mark Henry's claim as the world's strongest man is based on the fact he's the only man to have competed at top level Olympic lifting, powerlifting, and strongman competitions at the same time. Vince tried to out-rep him on every exercise. Henry went along with it because he's competitive, and he even admitted that Vince tested him a little bit. Mark said that he actually quit before Vince did. Vince phoned Mark in great pain and admitted that he made a terrible mistake.
Mark, I've made a mistake. You truly are the world's strongest man.
Mark, I can't feel my arms or my legs.
Most of me is just numb. I'm actually a big, great bowl of McMahon grapefruit jelly right now, and I won't be at work is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know why I'm calling into you.
No, something tells me that call probably ended with the words, "Just know it will never happen again, Mark. I will eventually defeat you at some point in time."
Oh, man, I can't believe I landed on this one. So, again, this is not our words. This is based on an actual story.
Yeah.
Vince was hesitant to hire Gail Kim due to her being Asian. Jim Ross convinced him, not only because of her in-ring talent, which she always was very good in the ring, but because many men are attracted to Asian women, and there are even lots of Asian porn sites on the internet. This apparently shocked the hell out of Vince, who had no idea Asian porn sites existed.
I'm sure they were music to his dick. No.
What was that, JR? Well, Boomer Sooner, there's a lot of Asian porn sites on the internet, and dang all, why don't you check it out? What's the AOL keyword for this Asian porn? Well, you're still using AOL, Vince? I don't know if, I guess it would just be Asian porn. Go ahead and type that in your search bar there. Okay, here we go. I like it!
No, I just imagine. To me, it's most likely it's something like this. What do you mean Asian porn is a thing? No one's liked Asian since the war.
Oh, that's probably so true.
What war was that, Vince? Doesn't matter. Pick a war.
Yeah, there was an aborted World War II storyline that almost happened in 2004 featuring Kenzo Suzuki, who was being brought in as Hirohito. I still remember the first vignette that ran, and I was like, this feels weird. And then we saw Heidenreich later, whose original pitch was that he was an unfrozen Nazi, as I think we talked about before.
Yeah.
And, they ultimately just put the kibosh on everything, because it's... don't do that.
All right. So, we already talked about how Vince is super competitive. One more story. Well, not one more, but another story. Vince the McMahon's playing pool at their holiday home in Boca. Triple H and Stephanie versus Vince and Linda. It was supposed to be a fun family game. Vince turned it into a serious competition. Triple H and Stephanie kept getting lucky and were winning. Vince was getting mad at Linda because she was making their side lose. Eventually, Stephanie ended up potting for the win. He cracked up and stalked off. Then later that night, she called him through the intercom saying, "You're tied to the whipping post, Dad," to piss him off from their bedroom. Stephanie and Triple H could literally hear him screaming in anger on the other side of the house.
I don't know if I can do a Vince yell. I'm struggling enough to maintain it. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Water immediately.
Yeah.
So here's another uncomfortable one. First one, if the Asian porn one didn't get us our explicit rating, this one will. Tiger Ali Singh complained to Vince about making him wear a turban in traditional Indian garb, telling him it was offensive to his people and a desecration. Vince replied, "You and D'Lo are gonna put on those fucking turbans. I don't care about desecration."
As I said about the no one's liked Asian since the war, probably.
Yeah, That's very not okay, and I'm sure in 2019 WWE that probably would not fly. That probably would have been around 98 when that happened.
You say that, but you never know.
Yeah, you got a point.
Jinder Mahal one time cut a promo against Shinsuke where he actually used R instead of W. So,
oof.
But, yeah, it was not received well. So this one, actually, we can go on like an extra 30 seconds about, because it actually cuts the story slightly short, depending, quote unquote. JR once farted in a car with Gerald Briscoe, which made Briscoe start gagging and throwing up. Vince heard about that, so backstage at Raw one night, he tried to fart to make Briscoe puke. It backfired and Vince shit his pants. When he had to go up to the ring and do a promo, JR said that the production people in his headphones told him it, and that they were instructed to keep the camera shot above Vince's waistline the entire promo. Look, at eating fuel, I'm not... But, yeah. So, it ends there. Supposedly, the story continues that he goes back, he takes it off and changes into workout pants, and then Triple H picks him up and chases Jerry Briscoe around the ring, around the arena, with the pants. To apparently putting Jerry Briscoe, like, in a legit hold, and Jerry Briscoe literally broke the hold because he hated it so much. Now, this is the Raw story. JR supposedly tells a different story of a shart, essentially, a mini one happening on SmackDown once, too, and that they had to do the exact same thing on SmackDown.
Just the idea of Vince McMahon and all of his extreme McMahon-ness. Full of pride, shitting his pants is something that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Linda?
Yeah. According to JR, he probably crapped like $1,000 pair of pants.
Not the $1,000 pants.
Yeah.
So this looks like it is a promo he cut or something, or an interview with him.
Yeah, imagine this is an interview or something that just gets a bit rambly.
So I'm going to do my best to get through it without choking to death while doing a McMahon voice. I don't know if it's going to affect the recording, but the screen is off. I don't think it will. No, yeah. I think we're okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I look at eating as fuel. I'm not that conscious of the protein I eat, but I know it's a lot. I think cheat meals are very important, so I do it about once a week. When you cheat, go for it. Vince McMahon, truer words never spoken there as himself.
Yeah,
it's important from a psychological standpoint. Oreos are my favorite cookie. I'll eat an entire box. And my philosophy is that the body can only assimilate so much in a given time. You have to 2 or 3 Oreos every day. Not good. You eat an entire package of Oreos at one time, it's okay. Just passes through. I'll eat pasta loaded up with meat sauce, pizza, all the carbs you normally stay away from. I'll load them up. I'll gorge. It's almost like I'll force feed myself on a cheat meal and afterwards think, oh my god, I don't want to feel like this.
I don't know, do you ever eat hate food?
Depends on your definition of hate food.
I was about to say, not food that you hate, food you eat because you hate yourself.
I did eat Pizza Hut yesterday.
Yeah. For anyone who's curious, that's what me and Josh met when we were delivery drivers. But
it was actually pretty good. Seems like they've gone up in quality.
It definitely does. My family's always say, a Little Caesars hot and ready, because no one actually stops eating Little Caesars hot and ready when they're full. They stop eating whenever they hate themselves too much to keep going.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I like it, but even people that like it will admit. So this one, it actually leads to an interesting story. Maybe one day we'll talk about it back at this one, though. So the wrestler had come out.
I'm going to refresh this water.
And they were promoting it on WWE, or at least they wanted to. And so he was supposed to, Chris Jericho was going to have a match with Mickey Rourke, and it was going to keep going. but something happened. And so this is part of the whole entire saga that happened. Back at WrestleMania 25, Mickey Rourke got so worked over by Chris Jericho that he's convinced that it was a shoot, meaning that he thought it was real. As a result, he brought muscle with him in case things went awry. One of the people he brought was former UFC light heavyweight champion Frank Shamrock. During the day, Jericho hashed things out with Rourke, so he knew there would be no issue. Afterwards, he told Vince about it, and Vince claimed that Jericho, Dean Malenko, could take the guy out, claiming, "Look at that guy, he's a midget." Jericho offered to let him take the midget, who was Shamrock.
Ah, man. That would be a fascinating fight.
It would have been very interesting to see.
My money's on Frank Shamrock.
Probably.
A few years ago, the company had a snow cone party. It was kind of weird, I know. This was in the back lot of the TV studio, not the actual large headquarter building that everyone always sees. Well, apparently, Vince is a huge snow cone fanatic, so much so that he had a lot of them. Like 10. At one point, he got up and announced in front of everyone in his Mr. McMahon, "You're fired" voice that he loves. Oh, sorry, let me redo that. He announced in front of everyone in his Mr. McMahon, "You're fired" voice that he loves snow cones. It was awkward, surreal, and I had to hold back my laughter. I'm not sure who that quote is attributed to because they did not put them on here.
Yeah, I don't know if Alan is a former writer or not. And some of these are his, but yeah, they didn't attribute that quote. To Vince, the funniest thing in the world is pushing someone into a swimming pool while fully clothed.
Ha ha ha! Your clothes are wet! That's about all I can milk out of that one.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho said he took a picture of Vince sleeping at an airport. He showed the picture to Vince, who demanded he delete it immediately.
People know I don't sleep.
God damn it. Vince McMahon doesn't sleep. Delete that.
This feels like something that probably happened multiple times to multiple wrestlers, but one time he got so drunk that he urinated on Ric Flair's hotel bed.
Woo! 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 Who did this to the Nature Boy's bed? Woo!
It's natural, Nature Boy.
But it's Vince McMahon's juice. No, not that juice. Not the one we had the trial over. The other juice.
The trial that was comparative to 9/11, according to my daughter. But actually happened, by the way.
She said that. I was there.
Yep. Beautiful moment in all of WWE history. That is there. But
Paul Heyman, go ahead.
I'll take it. Paul Heyman, when he talks about Vincent Kennedy McMahon's competitiveness, Vince supposedly has a world-class thick beard, but he shaves constantly. Heyman asks Vince why he doesn't just let the beard grow out and save himself the trouble. Vincent's answer: I can't let it win.
If I let it win, it'd be like just letting Ted Turner and WCW win in 98. The idea makes me want to puke. Vince holds a meeting with all of the talent, announcing the switch to PG programming. Michael Tarver stands up and asks a question. Vince's response was, "Excellent question, Shelton." Michael Tarver was an African-American star, as is Shelton Benjamin. So, oof.
Yeah.
Not cool, Vince.
CM Punk likes to tell a story where Undertaker, JBL, Edge, and Vince all had to room together when they were doing a tribute to the troops. And Punk couldn't sleep because everyone was snoring, except for Vince, who was just sitting there, laughing at his own farts.
McMahon flatulence. Oh, man. We are really getting in the blue on this one.
Yeah.
This has been said multiple times, so I'm, at this point, going to believe it. There was a movie that came out around, I think, 04, 06-ish, called See No Evil, starring superstar Kane, who is now the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
in which Vince McMahon, I guess he had some kind of creative oversight over the movie, wanted to see Kane's character pull out his penis, and he wants it to be 3 feet long, which is 3 foot long Subway sandwiches for context.
Yes.
I thought there was a connection problem, I said. Greg, can you repeat that last line for me? He says, yes, Vince wants Kane's penis to be 3 feet long, and none of the producers are saying anything about it.
Apparently, wasn't it shot and just didn't make it into the movie?
I want to believe.
Yeah, I think something like that.
What's he even gonna... Why? I don't know.
Anyway. If I remember correctly, like...
Why do we need to see Jacob Goodnight's dong?
Who knows? Because Vince is crazy.
It's an uncomfortable life he must live. No wonder he's killing people with a hook.
Yeah. Except for people with religious tattoos.
Really?
Yeah, that's like a thing in the film that ends up saving one girl's life is because she has a cross on her back and his religious tattoo fetish is too strong. He can't kill her. When the mom is like, why didn't you kill this girl? To Vince, because this was like a ripoff of like 20 different horror movies. Remember, this was the first one WWE did, wasn't it? Or did they start with the Marine franchise?
I want to say, if you want to get pedantic about it, they started with the Scorpion King and the Rundown, which they kind of co-funded.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I think that may have been it.
Neither of ones are 100% horrible, neither one of those.
Yeah. My grandfather insisted that we see the Big Show movie Knucklehead. It was okay. I was happy that he was happy.
That's good. Jim Cornette was one time at Vince's house and had someone from the cable company working on the TV because the sound wouldn't work. The guy came up to Vince holding the remote and explained to him what the mute button was, and that mute was on. Vince tipped him $100.
Mute? What the hell is mute?
I never go below 20 decibels.
Here's $100. Thanks.
Yeah.
So, ECW One Night Stand 2005.
Yeah.
One of my favorite all-time events. Vince had Tommy Dreamer, ECW mainstay, really the heart of the organization, call Sabu about doing One Night Stand. Vince was on the line, but he was quiet, and Sabu was asking for too much money. Vince then said to Tommy, again, he was on the line but being quiet, tell Sabu to fuck Sabu.
Vince is known for doing this. Vince is known if he gets mad that he'll drop his pants and tell, give me lube before you fuck me up the ass. But
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's an HR meeting.
It is. But get to what are the kinder moments in Vince McMahon's life. Mr. Fuji, who was a manager, used to throw salt in people's eyes.
Mr. Fuji's racist salt. Yeah. It was the 80s, and we didn't know any better.
Was in bad shape health-wise and financially, but he wouldn't come to see Vince to ask for help. When Vince found out from one of the agents, he sent Earl Hebner over with a large bag filled with money to Mr. Fuji's house.
Given that it was Earl Hebner, I wonder if that ever got to him.
Yeah. It's tough to say.
I'm just going to do this one as a one-scene skit. Shane, what are you doing? You're wearing a winter coat. Well, yeah, Dad, it's January. I sound like this for some reason. God damn it, take that coat off. End scene.
Yes. You can't let the cold win just like my beard. This is one of the more famous ones in the world. They're in a creative meeting trying to come up with ways for Big Show to job so loose while still looking good. One idea was that someone would spike Vince's burrito. Vince was questionable on this idea. Not because of the poisoning or anything. Vince didn't actually know what a burrito was.
This did happen. They did ultimately use that on TV and Big Show like got diarrhea or something.
Yeah.
And B, I don't know if this is going to come up later in the thread, but apparently Vince eats steak wrapped in a tortilla cylindrically, apparently with ketchup every day, which is not a burrito. But it's not a burrito. It's a very sad, disgusting burrito.
Yeah, I'm going to say, technically I would count it as a burrito because at this point, or at least at this point in history, burritos just anything put together in a tortilla at once. But
what the hell is a burrito? This is a McMahon meat wrap.
This is probably the final straw in the coffin of, we're going to get an E on this episode.
Oh, we don't have to read this one. This is real uncomfortable.
Okay.
It's just, there's a lot of, it's a story from when Vince McMahon was younger, and it's real underagey and creepy, and we're not going to get into it. Oh, shit. Hold on. Okay, good. I accidentally clicked on one, and it took me ahead. Excuse me.
Ahead.
Ahead in the thread. Okay.
If you want to hear the story, Laps Fan did a thing on Vince McMahon. I believe this is the story that they open with. But you can also just Google his Playboy interview.
Yeah, Laps Fan, I do remember hearing that on them, and props to them for doing the most fantastic Vince McMahon impression. If you want to hear a real, real good one,
yeah,
listen to their show because, holy crap, it's really good.
All right. You want to take the next one?
Yeah. Todd Pettengill interviewed with Vince McMahon and didn't think it went all that well, so he left the room feeling kind of dejected and down on himself. He also interviewed with a few other higher-ups, and on the way out he stopped in the bathroom. Someone in the stall was just destroying the toilet, just the foulest smell and the loudest farts. Todd, in a weird mood from his failed interview with Vince, pipes up, "Hey buddy, how about a courtesy flush?" Then after a few seconds of silence, Vince McMahon's unmistakable cackle was heard from behind the stall door. Todd Pettengill got the job. You're hired.
Like I said, it is weird things. Yeah, they have to fight Vince McMahon or make him laugh.
You'd better be funny or kick my ass.
Vince one time paid a guy $500 to stop smoking on the plane in the 80s. Back when smoking flights were a thing, because oxygen-rich firemen's full of smoke. What can go wrong?
I think Southwest still has ashtrays in their planes.
A lot of them do. Most of them, as I say, it's like, if you're going to do it, please don't kill us. Just know you're going to get like a $600 fine.
Yeah. Vince doing like a 12-hour flight for the tribute to the troops. That's when they usually go overseas to a military base, usually around Christmas time. During a 12-hour flight to pass the time, Vince would sneak around the plane and throw hard candy at the sleeping wrestlers, then duck behind the seats. And hold on, I read that wrong. And then would duck behind the seats when they woke up and tried to check to see who it was.
Peppermint. No, he's not. He's stirring. He's stirring.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Paul Heyman likes to tell a story about Vince McMahon admiring Sandman's entrance in ECW one night stand while eating a protein bar. Protein's important.
Hey, Heyman, this is a good song. What song is this?
If you don't know, Sandman comes out to Metallica's Inner Sandman, and they did pay for that on that night. It's sadly cut out of the network and DVD releases.
Yeah.
So the only way to get the good, real experience is to bootleg it. I'm sure it's probably still on the Pirate Bay, maybe. I doubt it. It's probably all been shut down by now.
Yeah, you never know.
It may be on YouTube if you just want to watch the entrance.
Yeah.
Okay. Vince kept walking by, and Curtis Axel, who is Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect's son, had his foot out, and Vince would just step on his foot on purpose and keep walking. He'd keep talking and walking, come back, step on his foot again, and keep walking and talking again. Walk back and repeat. Eventually, Vince just turned around and said, "Aren't you gonna say anything to me?" Man. To which he said, "Sorry, sir." Vince was like, no, you don't know what I'm doing. I'm stepping on your foot on purpose. As I want you to say something, I want you to stand up for yourself.
And now he is part of the B team. But Wade Keller once talked about a meeting with Vince McMahon. He went up to his office and walked in to find Vince eating a pizza. Nothing unusual there. Everybody eats pizza. But what was unusual was how embarrassed and mortified Vince's face was upon being discovered. He looked like a little kid who got caught with his hand in a cookie jar. With fear in his eyes, Vince told Keller, "Wade, you can't print this." As if eating pizza was something groundbreaking and newsworthy to a gossip headline.
Wade, don't tell anybody I do this.
Vince called his creative team and demanded them to immediately take a flight to his Florida home for an urgent meeting. No one knew what the meeting was for, but figured that it had to be important. Hours later, upon arriving, Vince refused to let them in his home. Strangely enough, Vince had decided that a meeting wasn't necessary after all. And just like that, everyone had to take another flight back to Stamford for a meeting with Stephanie McMahon. They never found out why Vince called them down to Florida to begin with.
I need everyone here now.
All right.
Never mind.
Go on. This is another famous one. The plane ride from hell is highlighted by an amateur wrestling skirmish between Kurt Angle and Vince McMahon after Vince challenged the Olympic hero by blindsiding him with a takedown. This was old hat for the two, as they had been horsing around like this several times prior to the plane ride. The fact Vince would regularly try and take down the Olympian who had won his gold medal with a broken frickin' neck in his mental in itself.
Bless you.
A tussle awoke a nearby Undertaker from his sleep, who woke up thinking the two were in a legitimate fight. To save his boss, Undertaker started choking out Angle. Taker didn't let go until Angle's eyes glazed over and Vince finally pleaded with him that it was all in good fun.
I'd like to imagine that Undertaker woke up the same way that he gets up from the ring mat.
Yeah.
Just immediately pops up. Oh, man.
Okay, Taker. Okay. Oh, okay. Do not actually murder Kurt Angle.
Looks like we're actually running out. It says that we have one from a different individual by the name of Daniel Konka, who says, "I wrote 12 Rounds, which was a WWE film, and had a conference call with Vince to talk story. I was told before the call, on no uncertain terms was I to use the phrase, to be honest with you. Apparently a previous writer had said that, and Vince went off asking the guy if he was lying the entire time."
Yeah.
Let's see if there is any more remaining.
As we had said, Vince McMahon is a crazy and enigmatic character on television, in real life, and out of life. There's no one like him.
Yes.
In this world. The question of whether or not anyone else should be like him, it's brought up. He's done a lot of interesting things for the business, some good, some bad. And these are just a few of the tales and stories of Vince McMahon and trying to find out about his life.
I've actually got further on the burrito story. I'd had a feeling the rest of the details would pop up.
Yeah.
So the full transcript of that is, "I think they were going to poison Big Show and give him a spike burrito. The whole concept was, we're going to spike his food, spike their burrito, and then you cut to a vignette that shows, then you cut to a vignette before that that shows Big Show eating the burrito. And then later on, he passes out in the ring, and we go from there. So Vince goes, burrito? Who the hell knows what a burrito is? It was such a foreign concept to him. Everyone in the room goes, well, we know what a burrito is. But the funny thing is that every day at noon, Vince's secretary would walk into the office, the writing room, with a burrito. It was a steak wrap cut in half, and he would put ketchup on it. Disgusting. Every day he was eating a burrito and not knowing what it was. But that's the idea. When you're in a bubble and in a business where you're ostracized from society, it's you and them and that's it. Everyone else is an outsider. So things like that only make sense in the confines of the wrestling world."
Yeah.
Seeing if there is any more that pops up at this time. There's a fantastic gif of McMahon in his do-rag reacting to something.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say no, that's the end of it. But that was actually a lot of fun to go through, and hopefully everyone enjoyed that. Again, these are not our words. These are directly from Twitter. Full credit to Alan_Cheapshot for compiling this. Thank you for giving us episode fodder.
Yeah.
How are we doing on time?
We're doing pretty good.
We had an hour?
10 minutes till. But
okay.
Did you see, as of yesterday, they released the trailer for the next, what are the next live-action Disneys?
Which one?
Maleficent.
Oh,
Mistress of Evil.
I was about to say, didn't they already do Maleficent? But I guess it's a sequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends if you want to count that. I think is one of the things that kicked off their big live-action, you know, Aladdin comes out later this month.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll end up seeing that at some point, given my station on life.
Yeah. Also.
Oh, update. I have seen the Spider-Man trailer. That looks really fun. My favorite thing in the world is the fact that the Marvel Universe on film is now as such that Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury can respond to Spider-Man's reluctance to not wanting to help with... Bitch, please, you went to space.
Yeah. Though they showed a clip later to get into it a little bit that had a lot of comic fans questioning because he referred to the MCU as 616.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I believe the clip was later shown on Ellen.
Hmm.
And he referred to... his universe as one where Spider-Man is the British Spider-Man, who I guess was a big part of the comic book storyline of Spider-Verse.
Hmm, okay.
And was one of the leaders.
That's interesting. So yes. They're like, oh, that Into the Spider-Verse thing was pretty cool. What if we did one too?
Yeah, and so for the reason this is creating controversy for those that don't know, the different... comic books use different universes all the time.
Yeah, I think mainstream Marvel has not been 616 for a while.
Yeah. Mainstream Marvel was 616. I thought our universe was 616 at one point in time, too.
That would check out.
Yeah.
It's been obviously a minute. I know that at one point, Ultimate Universe and 616 converged. Quite literally collided, and that was the end of 616. I believe that was around 2014-ish.
Yeah. But yeah, it harkens back to, I believe the original is part of the storyline where we get the One Above All from. It was almost a joke, originally, where Johnny Storm had died.
Yeah.
And the Fantastic Four decided to get him back to life, and so they decided they would do it by bargaining with God. And I think it's the first time we've ever seen them travel into different universes, and they popped into our world, to which...
And it was the actual, like, writer, right?
Yeah, it was Jack Kirby.
Cool, okay.
And so they met Jack Kirby, and as a joke, Jack Kirby was sitting there writing, like, 30 different comics at the same time. And they're like, can you please bring Johnny Storm back to life? And he's like, okay, and just, like... offhandedly brings Johnny Storm back to life, and then they go back to their own world. And I think that's what kicked off the Ooh. One Above All.
Okay, so maybe this is how they're gonna slowly bring in the new acquisitions.
Hopefully. That's what a lot of people are thinking, that we'll get X-Men this way, but...
Yeah, I'm very excited for the terror reign of Fox to finally be over with X-Men, because... I didn't really like many of them. I loved First Class. If you count Deadpool, it's great. Deadpool 2, also great. The rest just kind of aged like milk for me. It's like, they were nice at a time. Apparently Bryan Singer is a horrible nightmare person. And that kind of makes me want to distance myself from it.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. Horrible nightmare person. try to tell a gay story for some odd reason when he himself has horrible nightmare things with that.
Yeah, he is apparently quite predatory in the Hollywood scene for young men.
Yeah.
I cannot speak to that, obviously, as I have not been there, so I can't say yay or nay on that, but there's enough stories about it to where it's plausible. So, yeah, apparently, woof.
Two of the other trailers we got this week, It Chapter 2.
Okay.
I did not see the original. I've never actually sat down and watched the Tim Curry. I've watched reviews of the Tim Curry one.
Yeah.
From what I understand, Curry is fantastic and funny. It's not actually all that scary, though, is the issue.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it made for TV at the time?
That's what a lot of people forget, is it's the original Curry's not a movie.
Yeah.
It's a miniseries.
Gotcha.
So a lot of people sit down and watch it and go, yeah, man, this is long.
A lot of Stephen King adaptations were made for TV at the time.
Yeah.
He
famously remade The Shining because he didn't like the movie.
That's petty.
Yep. And then, I don't know if you saw it, the new Watchmen trailer came out.
I did not check that out.
For HBO? Looks good. I don't know why it has Watchmen connected to it. It seems like the only thing they're taking from Watchmen is the atomic clock.
Okay. This is about a minute, so I'm going to watch the tease on the low real quick.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of Rorschachs. So is this after Watchmen?
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
Because I know that it's been continued in the comics, which is probably real unnecessary. We now owe the Mystery Science Theater people money.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a graveyard. Everybody's in masks except these people. We got Destro from G.I. Joe's here, apparently. Okay, I mean, this looks all right.
Yeah, it looks all right, but it's like the Rorschach versus the cops. Because that's what you're not seeing, is the people in the yellow mask are cops. And throughout the whole entire trailer, they're going tick, talk, tick, talk, tick, talk.
All right. I guess I'll DVR that.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm definitely going to watch it, but that's what my friend's like, while it does look good, I don't quite know what or why that has Watchmen. I'm not seeing any nihilism in it. I'm not seeing any Nixon-era politics or anything like that, jokingly. I'm not
You're
seeing
probably using the word nihilism wrong.
Probably.
And I was guilty of it last episode, too.
I probably used it wrong. I'm not seeing anything about what is humanity in there.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it. It's been a minute since I've read the comic and seen the movie both, so maybe I'm just misremembering these themes.
Comic's good. I actually think Watchmen, the movie, is one of the better Zack Snyder films.
It is.
In fact, I may just take a gamble and say it's his only good movie.
He had a weird thing where he would go one good film, one unimaginably terrible, one good film, one unimaginably terrible. Because I like Guardians of Gaul.
I never saw it.
And then 300, of course.
Yeah, 300 is all right for its time.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't see its sequel. I would imagine I don't have to.
Yeah, neither have I. I think it popped it on in the break room once for 5 minutes at work just because I could.
Watchmen was definitely suffering from that Snyder slow-mo disease, but it was, as far as like a visual adaptation, it was great because you can see like panels that are
from the
comic within scene.
It later ends up being an issue with The Dark Knight because he likes Frank Miller's Batman, and for anyone that's read All-Star Batman and Robin, you're probably real sick and tired of Frank Miller's Batman.
You're probably real sick and tired of Frank Miller.
Yeah, at this point in time, yeah.
He's not a fan of the women is Frank Miller.
No.
So the only thing left on my run sheet other than plugs is just the words The Fast and the Furious. There's no context given. Just The Fast and the Furious. I think this was going to be a bit where I was going to try to recall all of the details of the very first trailer that came out in like 2000 and have Ryan spot check it while I try to do it. But
it was,
I don't
that
think I'm
going
to remember it as good.
Us discussing the fact that the first time I ever watched Fast and the Furious was with you.
Yeah. The very first one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the first two.
We did one and two back to back. Sorry you had to watch two.
Well, that's the thing is, I've seen three Fast and Furious films now. Four.
Out of order.
Out of order, because I watched Tokyo Drift on TV, and I missed the opening, but I have since gone back and watched the opening.
That movie has a real good opening.
Yeah.
Actually, it's really cheesy, and it really takes you out of it. Like, this movie's going to suck, but it has a really good opening song.
And if you're a Home Improvement fan, but...
Yeah, he's there.
He's there. I don't think he's done anything else since, but he's there.
He looks the same.
Yeah, it's really weird. Sorry, my friends are reacting to... Disney bought Hulu today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We're going to see how that's going to go. But I guess they needed a landing place for their ABC shows, and they didn't want them on the normal streaming network.
Wonder if that's going to affect anything other than possibly price. I know that prices were apparently going to go up for Hulu, but I don't know if that was ever proven factual or happened.
Netflix changes their price all the time. So.
Yeah, I have the low-end Hulu subscription just because sometimes there's anime on there that I want to watch. And most anime runs ads, but if you do like animation of any sort, most quote-unquote children's animation has no ads, which is interesting. You can just blow through seasons of like regular show, Wee Bear Bears. By the way, Wee Bear Bears is a great show, and I think a lot of people sleep on it. It is the, other than Steven Universe, the shining crown jewel of the current lineup. Started watching it on a whim, and I was like, is that Patton Oswalt? And the answer was, yes. Yes, it is. He plays a koala who is famous and a jerk.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I think a lot of people have given a lot of hate to Cartoon Network because of Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
But...
And you know what? Teen Titans Go is fine. I said it. Take it from me. My
it is,
probably
it's,
means nothing.
Like I said, it's weird to me, just the extra hate that's been added, because people are... Like, I've asked online before why people hate it as much as they do, and the traditional response is it's not as good as Teen Titans, which, okay, fine. One hates the Batman as much as... Like, Batman the Animated Series is legendary in its status.
Oh, yeah.
But no one... The Batman is not nearly as good. But no one hates the Batman and says that the Batman ruined Batman the Animated Series.
I liked its designs, but I don't think I ever really watched it in depth.
I watched all of it because I got bored. It was on Netflix.
I liked how...
Good show. Batman's like an eco-terrorist in that show.
That's awesome. That's the Batman we need in the real world right now.
Throughout the show, he dumps a blimp full of chemicals into the bay. Blimp full of Joker gas.
That checks out.
Happened he makes him. It rain weed killer at one point in time.
Oh, that's real bad.
He blows up a fertilizer factory.
Okay, Batman, everyone has cancer now.
Yeah.
Please stop.
Yeah. Blows up a fertilizer factory. They freeze Gotham Bay all the way down to the seafloor. Mr. Freeze does at one point in time. A tanker sinks into Gotham Bay at one point in time with Batman and the Riddler get stuck at the bottom of the ocean. Also, weirdly, that they covered a Killing Joke.
Why?
Like, instead of... It's the origin story to Clayface in the show.
Oh, that's super weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. Because it's that origin story, and then we get the origin story of original Clayface later in the show, and they two clash. But it's like, you take that, but then you make Mr. Freeze probably the best villain backstory in all of Batman. and make him just a jewel thief that fell into a thing of CO2. And I'm like,
okay.
How? And, like, somehow it ends up going into the future, and it turns out that no matter what, Batman always has a falling out with all his people.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Like I said, if you ever sit down, good show. I guess we'll probably may do an episode on it later, but if y'all...
Yeah, if it's still streaming anywhere, I'll probably watch it.
Yeah. Interesting. Check it out.
Hulu probably has it by now. Yeah. They actually are kind of the dark horse of the streaming service, but they quietly have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Just not movies.
Mm-mm. Well, they have some. That's how I watched, I think, Transformers 4 and regretted it.
Yeah. Apparently, they used to have the Godzillas, but they're all off now.
Oh, that sucks. I have a lot of them on DVD.
I don't mind it probably before King of All Monsters comes out later, and we may end up doing an episode on that.
That would be fun, because it's a weird take, but I've always said Godzilla movies are good to nap to.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? And the answer is, so you watch it, things start to build, you fall asleep for all the parts that are just people standing around talking. By the time you wake up, there's probably giant monsters, and you're good.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who loves kaiju movies and all things related to Godzilla.
Unless you're watching Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, then you just gotta feel real bad about everything.
Yeah. Get it? The government's not doing anything about disaster, you get it?
Yeah. I bet that was good. I think I missed watching it on the Funimation streaming service. I should have done it while it was still there. I just moved to the side of the mic, so I probably sounded weird.
Yeah. No, again, it's not something I've checked out. I think I've watched the Broderick, which...
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I was so excited, so deeply excited for that movie. And when it came out, I was crushed. Weirdly, this happened to me with another movie, too, which is going to happen to probably come up on the next episode.
Yeah.
We were talking about why The Fast and the Furious is written down. I don't think I can do that bit, but I remember reading a long time ago on IMDb that apparently the characters in that movie are, quote-unquote, dressed like their car. And I found that fascinating. Because I asked my friend Sway, who lives out in the Bay Area, I'm like, hey man, did anyone in California actually dress like this? Because all the main crew, other than Dom and Brian, is like very accessorized. They're dressed very stylishly, like probably expensive jeans, lots of belts, lots of like bracelets and like leather accessories like that on men. It's like, anybody like do that? And he's like, well, yeah, probably. So I was like, okay, fair enough.
Now, I still think my favorite accessory dress people will still forever just be in hackers.
Oh, hell yeah.
Remember, you can't be a hacker unless you've taken rollerblading lessons for 3 years.
The way everyone dresses in hackers is absolutely buck wild.
It is.
We got Angelina Jolie wearing a rash guard at one point and is nowhere near anywhere to surf, so I don't know why she's wearing that.
Yeah.
We have a jacket that I don't think ever existed on the main character, but it looks real cool.
Shaggy in there.
Unnecessary headgear. Don't even know what that was for. It looked like he was wearing a Tiger R-Zone. Matthew Lillard is there and he sucks. I really used to hate Matthew Lillard, but I'm starting to think he's probably an all right guy.
Well, I mean, depends if you like him as Shaggy, because he has officially taken over Shaggy now, so.
Well, isn't, like, the original voice of Shaggy super dead?
Yes. Well, let's not get into that. That was a tragic thing, but. Yeah. No, he took over, and then he did have in one of the movies. Is it the Looney Tunes movie where there is a movie where there is Casey Kasem's character? He's dressed as Shaggy and he's sitting down with Matthew Lillard at a table and telling him what he did wrong in the Scooby-Doo movie.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Apparently that Scooby-Doo movie was originally going to be R-rated, which is weird. But yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't shock me.
Look it up. But... the only thing I think got left in was the, God, that's like my favorite name.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. You got anything else?
We'll probably at some point do a Fast and Furious series. Even if you don't like those movies, which a lot of people don't, they're extremely fun to talk about and watch.
They are, so, and you gotta respect what they do.
Yeah.
They went, as I said, they went from stealing TV VCR combos into literally bulletproof men.
Yeah, it's a little known fact that Idris Elba actually just is bulletproof.
Yeah, in real life, and that they just happen to catch this on film.
Please don't shoot Idris Elba. We cannot prove that. We're just joking. It's a bit.
All right.
So, wrapping up, things to plug. We have a thing on the Patreon now, which is, if you subscribe to us at five or above, we will send you a sticker. Which sticker? It's the sticker of the very first logo we had for the show before we ever had a show recorded.
Yes.
It's so old school that it predates the actual show existing.
Yeah.
You can have it if you subscribe. Let everybody know that you were here first, and by first we mean pre-first.
Yeah.
And once those are gone, they're gone. There will be 9 of them because it's a sheet of 10 and our right now only patron and current producer, Tyler Dawson, will be getting one. So props, thanks to him. He pretty much paid for those. And we appreciate that. Check us out. Anywhere we are on social media, currently Instagram, at Raging Robot Partycast. We have a Twitter. Eventually it'll have stuff on it. Patreon, patreon.com/Raging Robot Partycast. We have a Twitter page. Ryan, any social media you want to plug?
No, I'm really good. Don't forget to email us.
Oh, yes. RagingRobotPartycast@gmail.com. Again, that is RagingRobotPartycast@gmail.com. Pretty sure we have no emails at the moment. So send us some so we can have something to read.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the show.
Yes, it is.